Hey, you guys. Nice to be with you again. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. This is our show, Lost Arts Radio Live. And the idea in this show is that we look at some of the events in the week that's just ending now and their significance for understanding what's going on in the world. So I've got notes on about 10 times as much as I can get to, but I'll try to pick some of the important ones so that we can get a feeling for kind of the theme of what's happening. As you can guess from the title, which is about insanity conquering the world, it's some interesting stuff going on. So, and this is from a position in America where we're broadcasting from, but it really is relevant to the whole world because one of the main reasons that America is kind of a key player in the current unfolding world drama is that, and also a target of the globalist tyrannical rulers, is that there's at least a memory of individual freedom in America, even though it's not being lived up to now at all by the government. But there are founding documents very irritating to the current rulers that say that all of the rights and freedoms that we have, they don't even come from the government. They don't have to be recognized to exist. You're born with them. They come from God. They're in nature. You can't take them away. They're what's called unalienable or inalienable. And that's why America is really important to conquer for the global rulers, and they're doing a really good job going in that direction right now. And it's kind of a race between people regaining consciousness and the rulers trying to suppress that all over the world. So we'll talk about America because it's where physically we're located for this broadcast, but it's really relevant for humans everywhere, and we'll mention some of the incidences of the same things happening in other countries too during the hour, which is going to go really fast, so I'll try to be quick through this stuff. You know that in America there's been a major debate or conflict, or it's really a conflict because the government is right now shut down waiting for the— well, it actually is just about to reopen for 3 weeks, but it's been shut down for quite a while, more than a month, I think, although I haven't kept track of the days exactly. But the idea is, you know, that we have a totally criminal, corrupt major media in our country, in America, like most of you do in other parts of the world as well, although there's a lot of independent media trying to spring up to correct that situation. But the media that's got the major money behind it, that's allied with governments and global corporations, is completely corrupt. They don't feel any obligation to tell the truth at all. There are people working for it that don't understand and think that being an actor, pretending to be a news anchor and reading from a teleprompter with the right facial expressions and tone of voice and things like that is broadcasting the news. They're products of modern education, which makes it really difficult for people to perceive obvious things and to think clearly at all. But the people who are controlling it, they're basically employees of these big global corporations that own most of the media, and it's used for social engineering. That's why they put the money into it, because it's easier to conquer people and control them and get them to do what you want through psychological means than having to blow up the country with physical bombs. Although I guess that's useful sometimes, according to the global military rulers. But you don't have to destroy the infrastructure if you just destroy their ability to be conscious. And that's what's going on with our media. So with this conflict that's been going on with the wall referring to a division between the southern border of the United States and the northern border of Mexico, a wall along there to stop massive illegal immigration coming across with all kinds of drugs and good people mixed in with criminals and with child traffickers moving in children that they kidnapped and things like that, a really bad situation, and terrorists and people from many countries other than Mexico. In fact, the Border Patrol calls them OTM, other than Mexican, and they're just using that as a gateway from the Middle East, from China, from all over the place, just to walk across this no barrier type border. And if you're willing to look, there's lots of places that are wide open. And for some reason, in America, there's these two major parties, Republican and Democrat, both of which have become criminal organizations almost entirely. And they're both responsible for a lot of destruction and dishonest deception of the public. But the Democrat Party in particular has become completely evil and deceptive. And they actually voted for putting a wall on the southern border of the U.S. in 2013. President Obama is on video explaining why it's absolutely necessary. Hillary Clinton was supporting it. All the major Democrats were supporting it. I think Charles Schumer was in favor of it. And now they figure that the public can't remember, you know, an hour ago, let alone, what is it now, five years since this vote by the Democrats to have more wall built on the southern border occurred. They figure, well, nobody will remember that now. And it's not that they care about the wall as much as getting rid of the current president, who's not part of the conventional power structure and actually is trying to help the country. It's called what you call a populist president, a populist leader. That means actually trying to do something for the people, whereas that's normally just a slogan and they do everything to harm the people that they possibly can. He's not doing that. He's got a lot of mistakes and huge blind spots, and he really blows it when he hires his own enemies to be his advisors and cabinet members and fill different offices below him, such as the current attorney general pick that he's got, which is a friend of the guy that's trying to destroy him, Mueller. But aside from little faults like that, the main thing is that he's not trying to harm the country, and that's unacceptable. So most of the traitor Republicans and virtually all of the Democrats want him removed from office and or killed, whichever comes first, and they're pretty serious about it. So because he wants to stop the inflow of illegal immigrants at the border, they absolutely are against that. And besides, they're using the incoming illegal alien immigrants, they're using all kinds of sophisticated psychology to make the public, which just stares at their television all day, to think that it's somehow racist to have a border, to have a wall. The Speaker of the House, the leader of the Democrats now, Nancy Pelosi, said, "This is not a wall between the U.S. and Mexico." No, don't fall for that. This is an immorality. Okay, so she's got two layers of immorality around her own house in, I think it's in Sonoma County, California. But this is an immorality, trying to keep people out of the country so the government can decide who is going to actually contribute to the country and who's just a drug dealer or a terrorist or things like that. She says that's an immorality. So they want to make sure that the flow of drugs and the flow of terror and everything continues over the border, because they work for higher levels of bosses that they're just obeying. And one of the steps on the way to the agenda that they're working on is to tear apart society so that people will be so terrified all the time, living in total fear even more than now, that they will beg for world government and tyranny and to give up their rights. It's a very reasonable business plan if that's your objective. So they need as many people coming in illegally as possible to immediately be given all kinds of free gifts from government and told that if they just vote for Democrats, that'll continue indefinitely. So it's a coherent plan, but now it's more so because they absolutely hate the current president, and anything that he suggests will be opposed completely. And in fact, he's offered many compromises, which I think is a mistake, actually, on this particular issue, because if you don't have an absolutely securable border, you don't have a country. It's not a partisan issue at all. But thanks to the educational system, in quotes, I put that in quotes in my notes, and the mainstream media, that's completely corrupt. A lot of the public can't think clearly anymore, and they actually believe that a wall on your border, which they're also calling a medieval wall, right, because walls existed 1,000 years ago, like wheels and stuff like that, you know. Because it's medieval, it's really bad. And it's also racist, and it's also xenophobic, and it shows that the president is a really terrible person and probably a Russian agent. And a lot of the public that's just staring at the television actually believes that and can't imagine that there's this really deep collusion among government agencies, global corporations, religious leaders in many cases, and other authority figures all cooperating together to do something that would be bad for them. You know, that is called conspiracy theory, right? And after John Kennedy was killed, the CIA, I think it was CIA or FBI, one or the other, came up with this term conspiracy theory to make fun of the people who thought there was more than one killer with Kennedy. And it's been a very useful term to ridicule people who thought anything that was unacceptable to government. But and so they make believe that the president and anybody in favor of this barrier must be a racist and hates immigrants. It's very sophisticated. They mix up the word immigrant with illegal immigrant, which are completely not the same at all. The president's married to an immigrant. He doesn't hate immigrants. And I meet people all the time of, devoted to the television and not, or the New York Times or other completely, you know, corrupt newspapers and radio stations and things like that, that believe that, they've just memorized the wall is racist. So clearly the Democratic Party is working for someone other than the American people. And most of the Republican Party is also doing that. Maybe not quite as obviously, but remember the president just came out of a long period where he had both houses of Congress in his own party. He should have been able to pass not only the wall, but a bunch of other things right away. And it didn't happen. So why didn't it happen? Can't blame it on the Democrats. It has to be because the Republicans wouldn't support him. And that's where many of his major enemies are, is within the Republican Party. And it's not because of any one issue. It's because they work for other people. They've been bribed and blackmailed. And if they disobey their real bosses, bad things happen to them. So they're not going to do that. They're not going to risk an incredibly lucrative position, which they got by selling out all sense of ethics, and they just do whatever they're told. It's a pretty serious situation because the majority of people, not only in Congress, but all these agencies of the federal government, certainly CDC, HHS, pretty much every agency at the top level is now totally infiltrated with people who are working against the ones they're supposed to serve. And they're owned and controlled by the corporations and the industries that they're supposed to regulate and save everybody from. So it's just like same situation exists in many other countries. In the UK, for example, Theresa May isn't working for the British people, obviously, as she's tried every possible way to sabotage Brexit. And she wants the UK to be under the domination of this unelected bureaucracy called the EU. Doesn't really matter what it's called, does it? It's just what it actually is. And it just makes rules that take away the sovereignty of the British people and the British government. So she's been a servant of that non-British entity. And this is happening in countries all over the world. And it's like same thing with Angela Merkel in Germany, who's now essentially deposed, but still nominally in office anyway. Definitely not working for the German people, as she invites in millions of violent illegal immigrants. Not every one of them is violent, but a lot of them are. And there's these waves of rapes and car fires and carjackings and kidnappings and murders, and all kinds, you know, people getting run over by cars, stabbed with knives of all kinds, and often with screaming that it's for God of their particular religion, which I'm not going to name because I don't want the bots to cancel our show just yet. But it starts with an I, and you could probably figure it out if you really try hard. And it doesn't mean everybody in that religion is bad at all. Now, I have some really good friends within it. But the teaching that's in the scriptures for that religion, I have read all three of them, three of the scriptures, and it's basically mass murder, deception, rape, invasion, stuff like that. You might want to take a look at it sometime. Anyway, Angela Merkel is working to sabotage her own country for that. And the people are finally realizing their resistance movements rising in that country. They're finally getting the point, oh, wait a minute. Maybe she's not an ally of the people. Maybe she's an internal saboteur, which is should be obvious. But they have an educational system too, and media, which whose main job is to make sure no one realizes what's going on until it's too late. Same thing in France with Emmanuel Macron. I'm trying to mention a few other countries besides the U.S., you know, just to let you know. This is not just a set of U.S. issues at all. It's happening in different versions all over the world. And by the end of our short few more minutes here in the show, we'll try to bring it to a conclusion and say what it all means and what it indicates that we need to do. Because this is not a good trend. You know, the title being about insanity taking over the world. I don't think that's a very good thing for us to let that continue happening. So anyway, before we get to a conclusion, Emmanuel Macron obviously doesn't work for the French people. And when he wants to massively increase taxes, carbon taxes to be specific for the main part, to stop the climate from ever changing again. I mean, what's the mentality of a French population that believes that could possibly be good? And so fortunately, a lot of people in that country are waking up too. And you may have heard of this yellow vest movement that's really encouraging, actually. And it's spreading far beyond France right now. But he's also destroying France by welcoming in millions of illegal immigrants from that same religion we just mentioned, who are focused on world conquest, helping it along by mass raping and killing anyone who won't convert to their beliefs. That's not really a very good thing for your country to do that. It'd be better to leave them in their own country to work things out. But working under the guidance of the UN and other forces like that, they're saying, Macron said that France should have, I think he said, several hundred million African immigrants from the same kind of culture to destroy France, and that would really be the best thing for everybody. So not all the world leaders are working to harm their own people, but most of them are at this point. And it's taken the populations, you know, contained by the false media and that false education, it's taken the populations forever to figure out, wait a minute, maybe the sky is blue, maybe the leaders are trying to destroy us. Oh, maybe we should just do something other than believe everything they say. But some of the leaders actually are not destructive, like some of the ones in Eastern Europe are trying to protect their countries from destruction. Putin in Russia, you might know that he's probably doing some good things because of how much the media tries to say that he's terrible. Take that as guidance. He's probably good. You know, they wouldn't spend that much time demonizing somebody if they're corrupt. I mean, the corrupt media would not spend all the time demonizing somebody unless they're probably really good. And you have to check that, because they could make a mistake and tell the truth sometime. But most of the time, you don't have to worry about it and just reverse what they say. So with Russia, they're resisting GMOs, which should have been banned by every country on the planet right away, and arrested the CEOs of the biotech companies, in my opinion. I think it's pretty obvious, actually. Somebody, you know, that's world terrorism. Just because they're not using bombs and they're using genetic manipulation of the whole biosphere, it's probably worse than bombs in a way, you know. But they just run around and they're not held accountable for anything. In Russia, I believe they were banned for at least 10 years, which is really way less than they should have done. The language was, until they figure out whether they're safe or not. Well, this is not even base level intelligence. I mean, of course they're not safe. Read Jeffrey Smith's work if you're confused, and Drucker and a lot of others, Stephen Drucker, I think it is, wrote a great book about him. There's no doubt GMOs are planetary suicide. So the fact of them being legal anywhere tells you what kind of government we currently have. But Russia's doing a lot of good things. They're fighting Wi-Fi in the schools, supporting families, organic farming. They want to be the Putin wanted to be the number one exporter of organic food in the world. Really, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I mean, there has to be a reason that the mainstream media demonizes Putin and Russia, right? So it means, oh, look at what, they must be doing something good. So the U.S. president is another one. He's got a lot of faults and blind spots, but he's fighting against constant slander and lies from the whole media and Democrats, and trying to secure the border because it's so obvious, no matter what country you're in any part of the world, if you don't have a border, there's no country. You don't have a country. It's going to just get taken over by whoever wants to come in waves, and that's actually happening, to the great joy of certain groups. So he's trying to secure the border, cut taxes and regulations, many of which are really stupid, like people getting fined and imprisoned for collecting rainwater by the EPA, which is supposed to be protecting the environment, but isn't stopping any of the real environmental issues at all. It's a completely corrupt joke agency with a lot of good people working in it, of course, but at the top, the ones who set the policies, some of them are major criminals. Anyway, and the president in the U.S. is trying to maintain national sovereignty, bring back corporations to America, and heal the economy. He's got a lot of blind spots again, but he also dared to question the central bank, the so-called Federal Reserve, which is not federal. It's not part of the government. It's mostly foreign-owned, and it's a massive criminal organization. And there's one like it in almost every major country in the world. It's one of the main reasons why Obama had to destroy Libya, because they were going in the other direction with their own central bank idea based on gold, which you can't ruin an economy with that. And he was going to share it with all the African countries. So that is one of the main reasons that Libya had to be destroyed, which was successful, by the way, as you know. And the current president also dared to question vaccines, because he had a child that was injured among thousands and thousands of other kids that have been injured and killed by vaccines. And the central bank and the vaccine industry are both deadly to America completely, have no redeeming qualities at all. So again, as I mentioned, he has major flaws, but not the ones the media and the Democrats say has. For example, he's still supporting 5G, which is absolutely terrible. You can't see enough bad stuff about that. In fact, the 4G, the 3G, the 2G, and the 1G, as has been exposed on the real news networks, they're all terrible. They're based on frequencies that are intentionally disruptive to life frequencies of communication between cells in the body. They even disrupt the natural operation of single-cell organisms and plants and trees. And 5G is going to be a lot worse. The president in the U.S. apparently has no idea about that. He doesn't know what's wrong with the Internet of Things. He just sees it as a great source of jobs and prosperity, and it would be a lot of jobs, but it's jobs destroying the world. So those are not really the best kind of jobs. There's other things you can do instead. He doesn't know anything wrong with chemical agriculture. I don't think he understands anything wrong with GMOs, as far as I know, or drug medicine in general, which is killing probably a million Americans a year conservatively and ruining the lives of many, many more through multiple medical drug addictions, which are extremely toxic and damaging and cause a lot more problems down the road, which of course that then the doctors give you more drugs for that. And when those do too much damage, they'll start removing organs and then eventually send you to, you know, some kind of a nursing home or hospice or something to die in, where they gradually drug you into euthanasia. And it's a really successful business model, but it's not a very good plan for if you care about the well-being of the people. And I don't think the president knows anything about it. Certainly shouldn't be a monopoly. And he also doesn't know what's wrong with nuclear power. As far as I know, there's no sign of it. He hires a lot of terrible people, which turn out to be his enemies and work against him. Doesn't understand geoengineering at all. As far as I know, he's never mentioned it. Or Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 2030. As Rosa Corey explained, it's the inventory and control of every item and person and animal and living thing on the planet, living and inanimate. I don't think he understands the real magnitude of the Federal Reserve's crimes. They need to be abolished, as Ron Paul said originally. And probably the top, you know, executives of it need to be indicted, because they haven't done anything but steal the money very subtly and gradually out of everybody's pocket who's earning it or generating it in a business, and they're devaluing the currency step by step by step. They've taken about roughly 98.5%, 99% of the value of purchasing power of a dollar has been lost, given to them, actually, since they started in 1913, and almost no one understands how that works. They just think inflation is something that happens, and that has never been true. It doesn't happen just automatically. And right now they're trying to really hurt the economy so that it'll make the current president look good, or look bad, sorry, obviously, and get rid of him. And that's why they've done raise after raise after raise after raise of the interest rates. Finally, I don't think that the current president in the U.S. has any idea about the hidden free energy technologies that have existed for more than 100 years. And anybody that wants documentation or more detail on that is invited to look at the work of Dr. Stephen Greer. Is still on the internet, hasn't been banned yet. I met him, and I don't agree with everything that he thinks about what's going on in the world, but he's brilliant and courageous as far as exposing the energy sources that the government at the higher levels, probably above president, actually is holding and sitting on. And I know of individual inventors that are just sitting on it too, because the energy policy of this country and most others is to kill anybody that tries to expose what could really be done, why we haven't needed the oil industry for, you know, as I say, more than 100 years. It's just used as an excuse for war, and it's used to intentionally pollute the environment. That's not a mistake. It's not an unforeseen side effect. It's intentional. We'll get to that. But and the bottom line of why the power structure in America hates the current president is because of his motive, not because he's doing everything right or wrong or anything like that. It's because he's actually trying to help the country, and that's unforgivable. That's his unforgivable sin. He's given up massive amounts of money, great lifestyle, personal family safety, and subjected himself to constant attack and slander more than any other president that I know of in history. And for a chance to do what he thinks would save the country, and by example, the rest of the world, too. And example is working, and there are populist leaders emerging in the UK, Eastern Europe, France, Germany, Brazil, other places, most places, even in China. Iran has a populist movement called, Restore, I think. It sounds like a supplement, but it's a bunch of really brave people. I heard video recording of the leader of it, the founder of it, really brilliant person, wants to take it back from before they were conquered by the current religion that dominates everything to when Cyrus the Great was there, and they had a society based on the old Persian culture, which was had a lot of advantages over what's going on there now. The current rulership in Iran is not popular with the people, but they're a very vicious dictatorship. So there's a bunch of populist leaders emerging everywhere. And in the U.S., there's still a dangerous alliance between corrupt government, including all kinds of unconstitutional agencies that shouldn't even exist, corrupt global corporations, including big banks and telecom companies, medical industry, the fake educational system, which is brainwashing people into becoming specialist experts that have no idea of the context of their specialty. So they're perfect for the power structure to use in destructive capacities, and they don't even realize it because they're such specialists. And the corporate corrupt media, of course. And I wanted to just, I'm trying to go through this really quick because our time goes fast. And as far as the media is concerned, there was a great example this week, I think was a really important thing that happened with these kids from Covington High School. Did you guys see that? It's been all over, but see, what happened is there was a group, I don't remember, was it Kentucky or some eastern, mid-eastern state like that in the U.S.? Covington High School is a Christian high school, and they were in Washington for, a march and vigil against abortion and in favor of basically a pro-life event, and they were just there waiting for a bus to go back to their school, I guess, and they were accosted by some groups that wanted to start fights, and they were just standing there. They weren't reacting. They weren't responding in kind or trying to get aggressive or anything. They were just standing there smiling, and then eventually they started singing their school song and stuff like that. And then this professional agitator that I didn't know at the time I was seeing it, that's who he was, but he was a Native American person, and he came up there beating a drum that he was holding like that to about 6 inches in front of the kid's face and just singing really loud, breathing on him and smashing on the drum, making, you know, that can be really upsetting if somebody does that 6 inches from your face and is singing really loud and kind of overbearing this older guy. And so the media was there to take advantage of it, and they said this group of fascist people who were wearing Make America Great Again hats, red hats, some of them were, some of them just had red hats that didn't say anything, and they were attacking this poor defenseless Native American person who was doing a cultural song of his, and it's really terrible. It just shows the bad influence of the current president and white privilege. And, you know, the media's job in America is to try to stir up race war and getting everybody to hate each other and especially hate the president. And they're horrible organizations. And then the rest of the video came out to the media's disappointment. And it shows that the kids had been just standing there waiting for their bus. And they were attacked by all these guys screaming things about how they were going to kill them and stuff like that, and didn't do anything. They just stood there smiling and singing some stuff from their school. And the media was exposed, not that the public will notice, by taking, you know, something and twisting it completely around, trying to use it as a way to hate white people, males, Christians, pro-life people, anything like that. It was really amazing. So I just thought, you know, you might like to take a look at that. You'll see two kinds of videos, if you can still find them, from Covington High School students. And the best ones are at this banned Real News Network that I can't even mention without us getting banned too. But the bots don't seem to recognize it if I split the name. First part of it is info, like information. And the second part after that that's added onto it is wars, plural, like having a war. And they have the whole story up there and all the videos and the CNN broadcast and the Real broadcast. It's very interesting. So what's the motive and the goal of these people behind the corrupt media and these tyrants that are in control all over the world? It's basically the same as tyrants have been throughout history, and the current global corporations and governments in collusion are doing what they would do. They're trying for total surveillance, total control, kill anybody that resists. Like in America, there have been, I don't know, somewhere around 100 doctors in the last 2 or 3 years that have been murdered for daring to talk about what's wrong with injecting poisons into people to keep them healthy, which is a common teaching and practice of the medical industry all over the world. It's killed a lot of people, especially kids. Anyway, they kill anybody who resists, and they want to move toward a one-world government. That's behind it. But unlike some of the other times in history, now they have the technology and the psychology developed to actually achieve world control. And a lot of that is happening in the UK and Europe at the same time as in America. African countries are still divided up and victimized by a lot of the big corporations, including the medical industry, sterilizing women in shots that they're giving them, all kinds of stuff that they're doing. Too. Anyway, so Africa's not in good shape right now, but victimized by a lot of the corporations and banks and the medical industry, I was saying. It looked like the connection on our broadcast stopped for a minute. I hope you can still hear me. China's an experiment in total communist control right now, extermination of dissidents, organ harvesting, aggressive military expansion, sophisticated infiltration of the U.S. and other countries. So if we had to summarize what's going on in the world right now, one way to say it could be a struggle between freedom and tyranny. The American founders, when they were setting up the country, said it was a constitutional republic. That was the form they... See, they were looking at history, what happened to all these governments in the past and what would give it the best chance of success with freedom for the people and protection against outside invasion and internal corruption and things like that. And the story is that Benjamin Franklin was asked as he was coming out of the meetings to write up the papers for the new founding the new government. And he said, the form of government is a constitutional republic if you can keep it, meaning the form of government itself doesn't, it isn't safe against disintegration unless the people have a certain degree of conscious awareness of what's going on and willingness to protect it. And it's interesting a lot in the corrupt media that we've talked about a lot tonight. You notice a lot of them saying, we need to do things to protect our democracy. But democracy wasn't the form of government that America was given to protect freedom and prosperity and individual rights and things like that. It was a constitutional republic. And, of course, what that depends on, since it's not a it's absolutely not a democracy, it depends on how well the Constitution is written, if that's going to set the tone for the country. In a democracy, founders knew that you'd never want a democracy. That's a terrible idea, because in a democracy, minorities have no protection at all. And I'm not talking about just if my skin is the wrong color. I'm saying if I believe in something that, like, say, I believe that in agriculture there shouldn't be any GMOs, and 51% or more of the people have been brainwashed and they think GMOs are going to save the world from starvation, right? We're going to have GMOs, everybody, whether you want them or not, because in a democracy, 51% rules. There's nothing you can do about it unless you become the majority. And oftentimes in the process of that, you become corrupt too in order to become the majority. It's a really bad system. And in a constitutional republic, provided the Constitution is written correctly, which in any country, you really have to make sure you do that. Because if you have a constitution that says, you know, that the president can do absolutely anything and can never be stopped by, there's no checks and balances, that's not a very good constitution. You could call that a constitutional republic, but it's not going to have good results. So if you have one that is based on things like what they said in the American Declaration of Independence, where the rights of everybody are guaranteed and they come from God and you can't take them away, no matter what country in the world you live in, government has no right to take them away. So when you look at, see, this kind of thing is not protected in a democracy at all. If you have a corrupt media, for example, and you convince everybody to vote against freedom of speech, which is actually happening now by default in the U.S. and other places, then you don't have any freedom of speech. In a constitutional republic, if those things are put into the Constitution, then they can't be voted out. Freedom of speech, the same thing to do with the Second Amendment, freedom of owning and keeping and bearing arms, firearms. A lot of people now are getting convinced by the major media, especially with the Democrats now coming into the control of the House. They've got gun control bills that are ready to pass. And they're doing that on purpose, but the general population is just believing that it's a way to cause to stop crime and school shootings and make everybody safe. They've probably been just too dumbed down by fake education to realize how dumb that is. It's like in Scandinavia, you know, and actually in much of Europe, where they've been having mass rapes by these people coming in from a religion that believes that's okay because you're taking over the country for God, right? So it must be great. They literally do believe that, and they're right. It's in their scriptures. If the women who are getting mass raped had firearms and firearms training, how long would those rapes go on? They'd be over the first day, because all the rapists would be running into resistance. And that would be a really good thing. Likewise, in countries that have been taken over by tyrannies, like in Germany in the 30s, or so many other places in China, in North Korea, Cambodia, what they always try to do first is disarm the people. Because if they can do that, then it's a lot less messy for the enforcers to go to your house, drag you out of your house, and there's nothing you can do about it. Solzhenitsyn and other authors wrote a lot about that, how don't give up your weapons, but he wished they had resisted with even, you know, pitchforks and brooms or whatever they had when they were dragged away, because it was too late later on. And the UK and Australia and other countries have already fallen to so-called gun control. And in the UK, they've got massive crime. It may not always happen with guns, but it's not the tool that's chosen that makes the crime. And that's a really hard thing for the general population to understand now. But if you look at places in the U.S. where they have complete control of firearms, like in Chicago and places like that, they have massive gun crime every night, every day. And a lot of people can't really grasp that, because the media's been pounding on it. Just disarm the population and it'll be peaceful and no more crime and everybody will be nice to each other and stuff. And it's not really what happens, especially with the crimes you've seen lately, with people getting run over in the street for God by in rented trucks and stuff like that. It's not the weapon that's the problem. It's the consciousness, really, which is, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm trying to go quickly. We talked about the reason it's a Republican, not a democracy, and you never want it to become that. And anybody that starts talking about how can we protect our democracy, you need to wonder whether they're just not educated or whether they're using that psychological terminology on purpose. So what it's gotten to now is a complex that actually Eisenhower warned about and Kennedy warned about, and they were talking about the, Eisenhower was talking about the military-industrial complex and gave a lot of warnings about that in his farewell speech, I think it was, and Kennedy, right before he got killed, since this is not a partisan issue at all. This is a awareness issue, which unfortunately most people don't have yet, but it would be good to get it. And what Kennedy said was there was a monolithic conspiracy that was quiet, and it's all pervasive, and it's in control, and it's preventing people in government from being honest and doing good things. And some of the people who don't know any better, they blame capitalism. I've heard Michael Moore say that capitalism was the problem. And a lot of other people, especially on the Democrat side, say that. But we haven't had real free market capitalism at any time in the U.S. up to now. It's talked about. It's an ideal. And it's a really good ideal, because it's just the natural outgrowth of freedom and getting to be creative and set up a kind of business and livelihood that you like to do and that you believe in. Now, outlawing toxic corporations and things like that, that's not anti-freedom. That's just protecting life. So, you know, you can have a society that encourages companies to make money with organic farming or farming beyond organic. What Organic Consumers Association calls regenerative agriculture, which is a really good idea. But that doesn't mean that you can have a company and set up frequencies that are known damaging to humans and all life forms, like is going to happen with 5Gs and is currently happening with the cell towers that are in in operation now. And even in actually the cell phones, if you learn that from a health point of view, what's going on with cell phone radiation, you never want to hold it against your head. I see people, almost everybody does that. Not a good idea. I mean, I've been involved in health research for more than 50 years, and I can tell you, with no ulterior motive except wanting you to be okay, never have an operating cell phone against your body, and even one that's turned on at all. And don't carry it in your pocket. You know, if you want to talk on it, put it on a surface, use speakerphone. Or if you absolutely can't use speakerphone, some people say that the air tube earpieces are okay. I don't know. I'm suspicious of them, but it's certainly better than a wired headset. And if you're going to trust authority and fake science, then you end up getting damaged, and it's not really worth it. So it seems to me that it's better to do the work, educate yourself. Awareness and consciousness is not just about being able to recite the bad things that are happening in the world. That does not make you conscious. That just means you can recite bad things happening in the world. Doesn't mean you are necessarily doing anything about it. But what's gone on now, as I was just saying with Kennedy, Eisenhower, and others that have warned against it, is this incredible collusion beyond what people think of as conspiracy between government agencies, and global corporations. And you see collusion and corruption all the way down through the state levels and the local levels, neighborhood levels. It's incredible. And Mike, this is another one I can't mention. Like so many, they're being banned off our media now completely because they're telling the truth, and they can't be allowed to do that. Mike, and his last name after that is Adams, and he wrote a great article about is everybody demonically possessed or what? Gonna, you know, at least a lot of people now, because people are running around in the streets just really angry, beating up people, screaming, hating the president, hating anybody who's light-skinned or who's male. This is what the media is promoting right now, and it's really spreading quite successfully. And being conscious means that you're not susceptible to brainwashing like that, and you don't fall for the fake education and the fake science and everything in the fake medical industry that is telling you. You know, they do a lot of good work with trauma care and accident care and things like that, emergency rooms. But for health, it's not just incompetent, it's very, very damaging. They're telling you that toxic chemicals are medicine. And yeah, they might sometimes cover up a certain symptom, but if you understand the body at a deeper level, it's pushing things into a worse condition that comes out later. Really a bad idea, injecting things into your body. I'm not going to say the V word, of course, but injecting poisons into your body that have come from aborted babies and animal cells that have been corrupted, and all preservatives, chemical preservatives, toxic metals, all that. They inject that into newborn babies or even into adults. Anybody that falls for that is kind of out of touch with what's really going on. And I don't blame them, because we've been trained to trust authority, especially medical authority or other things, for our whole life. And it's a really dangerous habit to get into. So if you're living in this kind of an environment, you really have to take the time to educate yourself. And if you don't, yeah, it's easier, but you have the consequences and you get blindsided by a lot of things. So some of the people, especially young people that don't think very much, are not clearly, they think that socialism would be a really good solution. And there's a major movement even within government now, allied with the Democratic Party and some of the Republicans in America and comparable parties in other countries. They're saying, well, of course socialism is the answer, you know. Obviously, just give everybody everything. And government can just print money, or actually, in most countries, the central bank prints money and then it lends it to the government and interest, guaranteeing disaster in the future. And the socialist people are just saying that. And unfortunately, a lot of otherwise really great environmental groups, including one that I really personally like called Organic Consumers Association, is falling for this socialism stuff. It's really suicidal. It's not just a not very good idea. It's a deadly mistake. And there's this thing coming up in Congress. This is another important thing from the week, I guess, is pushing this Green New Deal thing. And I think the people who are in favor of it from this group I mentioned or others that are really good in other ways and sincere saying, well, it's green. That must be good. And it's going to give support to organic farming. I agree, that's good. That should be the bare minimum standard in America or really any country for agriculture. I've been, involved in agriculture for many decades. And anybody that honestly looks at it that's not brainwashed by the chemical industry can see that if you want more production, you want to actually feed the world with food that's not poisonous, and you want it to be more drought resistant and all these things, you never use GMOs. Forget it. You never buy any of those products or seeds or anything. GMO plants, trees, now they're getting into animals. Those should all be criminalized. And in fact, a lot of the people, like, you know, starting with Rachel Carson in the 50s and 60s, realized that chemical pesticides were a really bad idea. What many of them did not realize is that the apparent need for chemical pesticides comes from the use of chemical fertilizers. And because they destabilize the soil, the plants get unbalanced and undernourished, and then the insects and disease are supposed to come in, do their job, and remove the inferior plants. And they do that. And then the chemical companies say, see, if we didn't spray poison on your food, everybody would starve to death. And it's too sophisticated for the average person to realize that it's nonsense, especially when it's pushed by the government and Department of Agriculture and all these people. But it is nonsense. And I completely support what Organic Consumers Association is trying to do, changing away from toxic agriculture toward a type that regenerates the soil the longer you do it. But combining that with socialism and the idea of just giving the people the money they need, that's a really big mistake. If you want to look at what is causing the financial stress in almost any country in the world right now, the first step you have to go to is the central bank, because on a very sophisticated level, they're taking away the value of the money. You know, $15 was a massive amount of money per hour to earn in the past, along, you know, decades ago. I remember earning $1.20 an hour. That was a while back, actually, in the 60s. But you just raise the minimum wage. That doesn't solve a thing. What you have to do is keep the value of the money so that if you earn a dollar or a peso or whatever currency your country has, it buys something. Otherwise, why not make the minimum wage $1,000 an hour? Everybody would be super rich, right? No, because if you issue more dollars based on nothing, each one has a proportional amount less buying power. It's really dumb, you guys. So you don't do stuff like that. The other thing in the Green New Deal is this wonderful provision for healthcare for everybody, controlled and offered free by the government, which means you have to pay massive taxes, and they make believe it's only the super rich people, that whenever communism is being sold, it's always sold that way. We're just going to take everything away from the super rich people, like they're talking about in South Africa right now. And what happens is you destroy the society completely. The super rich people keep everything they've got. They don't pay taxes at all, and they become the new super elite tyrants. Everybody else is in utopia, barely surviving. And America is in danger of falling for that again. Now OCA is talking to young people, trying to get massive support from the students who are not wise enough to see what's wrong with it. And they'll think, wow, organic, must be great. And they go along with a package that includes giving the government complete control over the medical industry, and you will not get away without any of your injections, not resisting using the V word. If you don't take chemotherapy, you won't get your free money, you know, stuff like that. It's a horrible, horrible idea. It'll kill a lot of people. So, you know, make the Green New Deal good. Take out the really stupid parts that are suicidal and make all of it make sense. Abolish the Federal Reserve, as Ron Paul said. Get rid of illegal agencies that shouldn't exist. Stop the collusion that is hiding the criminal operation of organizations like CDC and things like that. Protect national sovereignty. Protect the borders. Don't flood the country with illegal aliens that should not be in the country. And try to have a living wage. Those things don't go together. And criminalize sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. The governors and mayors and of those places, like in California, should be indicted immediately and should be held accountable, and those things should end. You have to deal with the cause of economic distress and not just say, well, we're going to ignore all that, but we'll just pass a law that everybody gets as much money as they need, or $15 an hour, or whatever. I mean, if you do that, $15 won't even make a phone call. And the people don't understand how that works. This was warned about by, as I said, John Kennedy and Dwight Eisenhower and a lot of other people who saw it firsthand. But at the top, far above where Kennedy and Eisenhower were, it's not about money at all. It's light versus darkness, or consciousness versus hypnotic darkness. And no system is going to work unless the people wake up. And it's a big subject, and we've just mentioned it before. So just to close here as a summary, what is waking up? It's important to know that, because waking up is what the only option I see that can turn around this plan to exterminate life on the planet, which is where the geoengineering comes from. It's where the central bank system comes from to impoverish you. It's where all this, the fraud that's being done in the name of saving the earth and stopping the changing climate, fake education of all kinds, poison food, the whole thing. It's all part of this larger collusion that comes from the very top that Kennedy and Eisenhower talked about. Waking up is not just saying, well, here are the terrible things that are going on in the world. That is not waking up. Waking up is self-awareness. That's consciousness. It's almost totally forgotten. And the people that do remember it think it's some kind of religion or philosophy or something, or just kind of cool thing that you memorize. No, there's a reality there, and it's so powerful. It changes physical events for the better, not in some crazy way, in a way of harmonizing things, because it's done by a power that comes through you. I can't say a lot about it because it's the thing that's the most taboo, even far beyond real health information, which is suppressed by murder. So consciousness is going to determine whether life on this planet works or not. And it's getting to a decision point now. So we started a group that wants to work on that. We'll go beyond what we talked about tonight. If you're up to that, and it's demanding, because you have to work on yourself, but you revolutionize your life, take a look at planetaryhealingclub.com, and you'll see how to get into that if you want to. Otherwise, we'll keep coming as long as we're allowed to each week, and kind of talking a little bit about what's going on in the world. But the bottom line is that the message is, you're the solution. However you want to do it, wake up, become conscious, educate yourself, become self-aware. And once you wake up, what used to be our normal abilities, real positive change can happen. So it's an honor to be able to talk to you. I hope it keeps going for a while. Have a great week. Remember our Sunday show tomorrow night. And for those of you in Planetary Healing Club, we'll start in half an hour. Watch for our free videos on the platforms as long as we can stay there. We get kicked off there. Find us at brighteon.com or our website, lostartsradio.com. See you next time, guys.